The opinions and viewpoints expressed in this recording may not reflect those of its sponsors, Microsoft, its partners, or employees.
Welcome to show number 14, recorded live in Seattle at the MVP Summit 2007. In this show, I'm joined by Alan Rogers and Todd Hedrick. Todd's the project manager for Windows Home Server, WHS. With the recent release of Release Candidate 1, it seems quite appropriate that we have a podcast about WHS right now.
So, Alan, Security MVP, who are we sitting with today?
This is Todd, who's the product planner for Home Server.
Cool. Todd, do you want to maybe tell us a few words about Home Server, what it means to Microsoft?
Home Server is a new offering of Windows that allows consumers that have broadband, multiple PCs, to enable automatic image-based backup of those machines every night. It allows you remote access to your home server and to your PCs, and it allows you to add hard drives like pieces of toast to a toaster so that you can grow your storage without ever having to worry about drive letters again.
Sounds like it could be an AV and security nightmare for guys like Alan and us when inexperienced users in the houses back home in the UK deploy Home Server and screw it up.
I don't think so. I think that it's designed with simplicity in mind, and we've done a lot of usability testing, and both with enthusiasts and simple users.
I mean, this solves a lot of problems because you end up with backup at home. So where most users at the moment have all their data stored in islands on all their unique PCs, they're now getting it all set, replicated to a central store. So you're now bringing backup to the home where you never had a backup. So it simplifies a lot in a lot of ways.
Sounds like it's a great push of enterprise technology down to the domestic user.
But with a very simple UI such that, you know, it doesn't take an enthusiast to figure out how to use the product.
But it's complicated stuff under the hood. It's all the real stuff you'd use in an enterprise. It's really Windows, you know, it's really commercial-grade Windows, but it's all wrapped up in a nice,
easy-to-use GUI.
So what about securing this home server? You know, we're all sitting at home with broadband, we've got Netgear, D-Link, Linksys routers, etc. How are we securing home server such that it can't be hacked?
So we sit behind that router, or router as we like to say, because a router is someone who cleans out your toilet in the
U.S. We are in America.
So we sit behind the router, and we basically, remote access is turned off by default. So as a user, you decide to turn on remote access. And then there's a bit to open the ports on the router so that only the right ports are forwarded to the home server.
So that's done. If your router supports UPnP, then it automatically configures it via UPnP. If not, then it props up a UI and then it gives you the steps to go and configure a router and says, now if you need to open HTTPS access, you need to do these things on your router and port forward these ports.
And then you can have 10 users and you define which user accounts can be used for remote access. And if you're really paranoid, you don't create a user account like, you know, Todd or Roger or, you know, Jeff. You create a user account that's 43 characters long, and you create a complex password to match it. But, you know, most people will create a short username, but the password always has to be complex if you enable remote access.
It sounds like you've got most of the bases covered.
Well, the nice thing is as well is that for remote access is that it uses forms-based authentication instead of basic. So it means that all the credentials are stored in a cookie and all that's just taken care of from the word go, which is nice.
So is there much in the way of, say, wizard support for the end user?
There's a lot of wizard support. Like adding a hard drive is a two-button wizard. You plug in either an internal or external hard drive to add additional storage space to your home server, and then it adds it to a central pool. And the two-button wizard is more educational. You really have to hit the enter key twice. And all it says is, we're going to add this, here's what we're doing, hit enter again, and it happens.
And that's where your secret sauce kicks in terms of the stuff that goes and extends a disk and just hides all the drive letters and all the volume technology,
yeah.
And users can just So as they run out, buy more disks and just keep throwing them at it.
Yeah, and users manage their storage at the shared folder level, which users understand. This is my music, these are my photos. And once you have two hard drives in your home server, you can actually, through the drive extender technology, say, make this folder duplicated. And drive extender will make the photos folder appear on one hard drive and a second copy on a second hard drive automatically. Such as if a single hard drive fails, you won't lose those precious digital memories.
Wow, so that's almost like instantaneous backup.
It's kind of, you know, it's RAID 1 mirroring in a way, but at a shared folder level.
Cool.
But, you know, we have had people that have had 21 hard drives on their home server, so we call that RAID 21. People with 17 hard drives, that's RAID 17. You know, and however many hard drives you have, you know, you can... But most people in America think RAID is an insect spray from research, so, you know...
Well, most of us who've lived outside of the UK think the same for RAID, actually, and same with PiffPaff. Moving on, what about the pricing and availability?
The software we're working on finishing up, you know, kind of in the mid-year time frame, and in the fall you'll see hardware software solutions from a variety of partners.
So we're actually looking to get to release
this fall.
The summer of 2007.
Well, probably, you know, late summer.
So. Late Q3.
Yeah, I don't like using seasons because the Aussies always get confused. Because, you know, it's actually winter, you know, so...
Well, they're just going into autumn now.
Yeah, I know.
Of course you're right, because the last time I looked at my cluster maps on my blog, my Northern Hemisphere audience is pretty much the same as my Southern Hemisphere, so...
Yeah.
We should be looking at catering for that too, so...
Yeah.
So that means it's going to be... autumn, spring release then.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we'll ship when it's darn well ready, but everybody will be pretty darn happy when we ship.
And what about pricing for this particular product? Have we got any ideas?
We're still stewing the pot on the ideas. We want to make it affordable.
But at the moment, most vehicles have been it's been shipped with hardware at the moment, so
yeah,
it'll be the thing you buy from an OEM.
Yeah, I mean the price will really be dependent on how much storage space and how many drives a OEM decides to put in the box. Right, so if it comes a low-end model and the box can expand maybe to two drives or something like that, we're trying to encourage certain OEMs to, you know, build a box that could expand to 16 drives, because we know the digital media enthusiasts collect TV shows like some people used to collect coins or stamps, right? So
does that mean you can have native torrent support?
We haven't, but if you go check out the forums at serverplayground.com, there's actually a good thread about people figuring out how to do just that behind the scenes and building an add-on onto the home server platform.
Have we had any MVPs building add-ons for this kind of thing?
We haven't announced the SDK yet. That will be coming either later this month or the early part of April. But there's a lot of people excited, both ISVs and MVPs that are building thinking of building add-ons. So
we're looking at a product that's based on the Vista code base?
No, actually it's Server 2003 SP2 under the covers. We started out using the Longhorn code base and the Server 2003 code base and doing builds on both. And we're doing Server 2003 because we ship before Longhorn server ships. It's really a moot point. I mean, a consumer will never really see it. It's the enthusiast that cares kind of what's under the covers.
I suppose the most important thing is if you end up building your product roadmap and release schedules on top of someone else's, then you're not in control of your own release schedule.
Right, you're not, yeah, I mean, so, you know, in the future, you know, I'm sure we'll get to, you know, either Vista or Longhorn are the right components to build, you know, what it takes to build a home server. I mean, the nice thing about it is we're building a product for a very specific market, so we can grab components from various Windows teams to actually make the products that we want.
And in terms of the market, are you looking at this being a product for enthusiasts? Are you saying it's going to be across, you know, a broad market product? Or?
So we're actually building the user interface and the capabilities for what at Microsoft we call the enthuse follower, and that's the person, the enthusiast, convinces to go to a retail store to buy the hardware software solution to solve their problem.
Demon and Craig's parents.
But we're also trying to build really cool technologies in it with drive extender and the automated backup capabilities and the platform aspects where you can extend it such that enthusiasts will go, wow, they did some really cool things. Now what can I do with it?
Excellent. Ooh. Sounds like a super product and coming hot off the heels after Vista. Bound to be a seller.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Alan?
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The music used in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. Visit his website at www.incompetech.com That's incompetech. This was a CraigMurphy.com production.